What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke Podcast.
Hey,
what do? How are you?
Feeling good, feeling great.
Yeah,
feeling good, feeling great. How are y'all?
I am so good. I finished my last week of grad school for the summer.
Shout out.
I didn't think I was gonna make it, y'all. I swear, I didn't think I was gonna make it, but it wasn't nothing but God that I was able to finish strong. I wanted to give up so many times.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I know
it's so hard. I mean, I really didn't think it would be hard, like grad school and a baby. You know what I'm saying? I really didn't for some reason. But this shit is some work. Like, I commend all the moms out there that's really trying to do both, you know?
Shit, I commend you.
For real, that shit is hard. It was hard. When I was doing it, it didn't even have no, you know?
And then my twin came to visit me for a few days, so he finally got to meet Yara. So it's been like a cool week.
It really has.
So I was really happy, and she loved him. Like,
of course,
it was so beautiful. So it was just, it made my heart happy for sure.
That's so sweet.
Yes, it's just been a really great, like, reflective week, you know, like. My school, we kind of started back a little early and did some like professional development. And so we had this guy come and speak. His name is Dr. Adolph Brown. He's from the Virginia area. Young brother. He's not even young. He's like, he's probably old enough to be our daddy because he has children our age. So, but just a cool, like, I don't know if I want to like, he really helped us work on personal development, you know, in order to really make a difference in the lives of our students. We need to get ourselves together first. You can't help nobody else if you haven't helped yourself, you know?
Right.
And so you can't, what he said was, you can't pour into somebody when you're empty, you know?
Yes,
and so learning to kind of develop ourselves first and get that together before we really start trying to help our students. And so he kind of gave us some strategies to kind of like let go of some shit that we're carrying, you know, especially things that a lot of times aren't our things to carry. You know, we're holding on to stuff that ain't got nothing to do with us. And so he, when I tell y'all, when I tell you he was everything that my spirit needed, you know, as far as like, you know, dealing with my own personal issues, dealing with forgiving people, you know, like the whole, it just came full circle. And then it, and then he also reminded me to, you know, this is my first year teaching in a majority Black school, you know, and ever since I have decided to do that, I've been getting a lot of like negative comments from certain people, you know, kind of like, like, be careful. And, you know, I don't want to be naive, but I also believe that they're more than the stereotype or more than their circumstance, you know?
Exactly.
But it's easy. It's easy to say that and then you treat them differently. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So learning to check your own bias and really be here for these kids. And that's what I learned from Dr. Brown. Like he, y'all, he came in looking like Coolio.
Wow.
Just a, but like a backpack, jean, like, and first of all, it was like the principal was reading his bio and this young brother stood up there and kind of like stood up there, was like nodding to the ground. So you assume that he's who she's talking about, you know? And mind you, it's another brother in the audience, loud, like the pastor was telling him, had to hush him three times because he was talking so loud. Just, you know, yeah, you see those kind of local people and they're kind of off sometimes, you know, but you know they mean well and they just, you know, you just can't really read them, you know? And so he comes up to me and mind you, I had to bring Yara because everybody had to work at this time. Well, actually, Nana was out of town. And so Yara was with me and the guy walks over, mind you, this is when the guy is introducing himself, like, you know, the principal is speaking and stuff like that. And so he comes over to me and he's like, oh, your baby is so beautiful. And I'm trying to pay attention to the stage. I'm like, why is this man in my face? You know, he's like, what's her name? And I was like, Yara. But I'm trying to like not be rude to him, but also trying to pay attention to the speaker, and he turns out to be Dr. Brown, you know, and he's telling us this is how I dressed in high school. You know, I dressed baggy clothes, had a backpack with me wherever I go, you know, type of thing. Hair just wild. And he was just saying how, you know, as mentors, we need to be telling them, you know, not letting them be unique, but also telling them we live in a world where they will judge you based off of two things, how you speak and how you look. Right, and it's okay to be unique, but if in order for us to kind of change this world, we got to get into these positions. Yes. So you got to kind of conform just to get into those spots, or just be mindful that, you know, I'm never going to tell you to change who you are, but just be mindful it may be hard to get a job because of X, Y, and Z. And it's like, tell these kids, pull your pants up, you know? And so he just was a phenomenal speaker. And sometimes I'm always like, you know, public speakers, you never know what you're gonna get. Some people are just, you know, but he's really dedicated to his craft, you know, and it, I didn't feel like I was being spoke to, I felt like I was being taught, and I think that's really important. So it's just, you know, really like reflective week, a week of growth, a week of understanding, a week of just admitting my challenges, you know, and where, how my, you know, that I'm imperfect and that I'm still learning and growing, you know, and just trying to be a better person. So
shout out, Alfred.
I wish I was there to receive that message.
It was a word. You hear me so much where I was like, I was in church. Like, you better preach. You preaching to us today? Is that what you're doing? You're preaching?
Right.
Are we going to collect the offering right now? On the webpage? What chapter are we in the word? Okay, because I need to know. Because you're passing out all the knowledge right now, like,
giving all the tea, spilling all the gems,
the whole word. So it was phenomenal. Like, I really grew a lot. So that's great. And then Yara has been saying "mama," so let's just do a whole bang head bounce for that. Richard was so jealous too, but yeah, so she's doing a little baby talk, and so it's cute. What about y'all?
Well, shit. I mean, my week has been pretty cool. Like, I can't even front. It's been fine. Work is what it is. You know, it has its ups and it has its downs. It actually has been having more ups as of late than downs. However, the downs are still present, and when they get to me, they get to me. But I've been listening to my Abraham Hicks and doing. I actually have been starting to do like tarot. Because I feel like I talked about this a little bit, but I started to do tarot, and I am like doing this exercise to where you like I'm starting with the first 8 cards that are in the deck, which are like the Emperor card and the Fool and stuff like that. It's like 8 different cards that you start with, and so like each morning I pull one of the 8 cards and I read about the card, I read about what the meanings are and everything like that. And as of late, I've been selecting the same cards. Like, it's really interesting. Like, so I've been selecting the Emperor card, which is it talks about like leadership and making decisions, like being in a leadership position to where you can make decisions and moving forward within a project or process. Which is kind of what has been at the forefront of my mind. So like whenever I'm at work, I'm really not, I mean, I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to do while I'm at work, but at the same time, I'm actually focused on what my goals are outside of work. And so I'm really thinking about how what I'm doing at work ties into, you know, the goals that I have outside of work. And so I've actually been able to utilize that mindset in order to get through a lot of the things that are not so good that happen at work. So when I'm you know, listening to people who are complaining about any and everything, actually able to come up with better solutions that are more helpful to the individuals instead of me having to say, okay, well, let me fix it. You know what I mean? And things like that. And it's actually really been able to turn my emotions around. So instead of just easily getting popped off and whatnot, I've been able to just, you know, breathe and be like, okay, here's the solution to that problem, or here's a few options, try that and then come back to me. And people have been actually figuring things out on their own because of that. And then at the same time, I've been able to actually hold people accountable because I'm no longer doing the things for them. Instead, I'm telling them, okay, well, let's really examine this. Let's think about ways that we can get out of this situation instead of just coming and complaining about it, you know, and things like that. So it's actually been able to shift my energy from a more negative one to a more positive one, even though I'm going through the same type of situations or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's just by me really, like I said, focusing on my goals outside of work, and then just really remembering and paying attention to the feelings that I've been feeling lately outside of work, which have been amazing. Like, my personal life has been going so well as of late that I don't have any stress.
That's good. You know, that's supposed to be.
I know, like, it's like no stress. There's no irritation, no frustration, nothing like that outside of work. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like focusing on that more so that while I'm at work, I can start to feel that same energy in hopes to align that and bring that or manifest that in my workspace as well. So it's been kind of an interesting process or whatever. And it is challenging because, like, listening to Abraham, she talks about it all the time. And she's always like saying that you can't just start and think that it's going to automatically change immediately. Right. Like, it is a process. You do have to teach yourself how to not get sucked into the negative think or the negative thought or whatever process. You have to teach yourself to go general and to go into a space to where you're saying, I'm satisfied within this situation and here's why, you know. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to that space and you start to master that to where it gets boring, then you can add the specifics and go from there. But it's like a journey. It really is a journey. And I've been experiencing that and kind of going with the flow to really listen to what my emotions are telling me and moving in a direction that is meant for me to move in. And so it's really been making me more at ease in my personal life. And then I'm starting to get there in my professional life as well. So it's been an interesting journey, you know, throughout this week. Been learning a lot, doing a lot. Of course, I'm still taking this damn class. This is the last week for it's over this Saturday. I have my final. Okay. I got a bang of assignments to do before that, but I mean, that's what I get for signing up for an undergrad summer course, you know.
Ooh, yes. You know what? Weeks. I'm done, y'all. I'm not, fuck a PhD. I'm going to just appoint myself the fucking PhD. Just call me Dr. Jones.
Ain't that it? That's no. Almost what it feel like, though. Like, it's like, especially like when you taking these like summer courses, because it's fast, like everything is fast paced, and they like literally put the same amount of information that's in a like 16-week course in 8 weeks and shit. It's like, bitch, I don't have the capacity no more. Like, I thought I did, you know, but when you work in a full-time job, especially like if you in management or administration or something like that, and you juggling your home life and shit like that, it's like, it's a lot. Like,
it's a lot. It is a lot.
And you have to make sure that your energy is straight before you able to balance all of that stuff at the same time.
Absolutely. So, and I just know myself too. Like, I would rather just pour into Yara than get a PhD. Like, I think I would be, it would be well with my soul if I don't go after a PhD. And I may change my mind. You know, you never know. But as of now, in this season, baby, I'm done.
Ain't that
you guys
it?
Can have that, you know?
Nah, I feel you, though. I really do. Because this shit, it's a challenge. It really is. Like, you really have to make sure that your spirit is in the right space. You got to make sure your mental is right. Like, literally. Because it'll eat your ass alive. Like, for real.
And it's not really that bad because, you know, you do things over your passion.
Yeah.
But the work, putting the work into it is where it becomes challenging. You know, you really have to sacrifice your time to really, you know, perfect some things and create things. So
it's that. That's definitely all of that. The time and the energy thing. Because it's like you be really want to give your focus to something else, but you have to make sure to finish this particular course or this particular set of courses in order to finish the overall curriculum. So it's like you really don't have a choice in the matter, you know, but you know you need to finish it in order to complete this thing that you set out to complete that'll get you to the next level of life. So it's like you just kind of buckle down and go ahead and do it. Even though you would rather be doing 8 billion other things at the same time. So, you know, it is what it is. It's almost over. August 3rd is the last day. So a bitch will be done. And then I can move right on to the next level, the next thing, and figure out what the next move is. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's how my week's been. You know, it's always a lot. I miss to do everything, so...
You really are. One day you're going to sit your ass down.
I did that this weekend. I was able to just chill and not have to worry about nothing. I was able to talk about our wedding plans and start coming up with different decisions, which we know where it's going to. Well, we don't know the venue yet, but we know the location that it's going to be. We like restructured literally everything. So I'll have to talk to y'all about that a little later.
Yeah.
But what about you, Ro? How's your week?
Ooh, my week, you know, it's been decent for the most part. I mean, like I told you, I had the surgery and everything, and I was a little pissed off with the nurses simply because I had a follow-up appointment and I was coming in to expect to see what my levels were for, you know, the thyroid replacement that they gave me. And it's like, she goes like, oh, they only put in a lab report for your calcium levels. And I'm like, but when I sat down with them and they asked me what I specifically told them, this is a port draw and a lab because I just had a thyroidectomy. I need to check my levels for the thyroid replacement. And they only did calcium. So I'm just like, I came back all the way over here don't get me wrong, I needed to get my sutures removed when I'm having a surgery. Mm-hmm. But I was also hoping to be able to have a robust discussion about like where my care is going to go with the dosage and if it's because it's just been, you know, after that, you know, I started to feel kind of a little sluggish. I'm like, okay, why am I? And I know that was one of the things that she said, like when you don't have your levels the way that they need to be, based on a dosage, you can feel either amped up, pumped up, like you just really energetic. And just like all over the place doing all the things. Or you can feel really sluggish after some minimal activity. And so I kind of been feeling like that. I'm like, I walked a mile today because that's to myself to get back into working out. But after I walked that mile, y'all, I didn't feel like doing nothing at work. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know what I mean? And I wasn't even jogging, I was walking. So I'm like, okay, this got to be something going on with the thyroid medication. It might not necessarily be the dosage that I need. And I felt like that would have showed up in my blood test had they tested it. Because this came back from them last Friday when she was doing all this. I'm like, okay, this is not, you know, this is not what I was expecting. But other than that, you know, my week has been going good. Still being diligent in my search for my next opportunity with work and everything. But other than that, work actually has been going pretty good. We have two new people on, you know, both, one is from California, the other one's from New York, so it's good to have some fresh and much needed perspectives in the office. One of the new coworkers had shut my old coworker all the way down, and I was living for it, y'all. I was like, somebody need to tell his ass, because he needs to know that he sounds stupid.
Right.
And so she came in, look at him like, you know, like, what do you mean? Like, you are a professional in this field. What do you mean? What are the benefits to you? Do you not know the enterprise? I die. I
was right. Like,
this is what I need. This is the quality content that I'm here for. You know, it's petty. Don't get me wrong, because I just was like, I couldn't have read him better.
But you did that shit at work. That's what like fuels you to keep going and shit. When you watch people shade other people, that's like,
I love a good petty people. I hate being the one that has to be petty, so I like to see other people do it.
Right.
I'm talking about, it was a good petty. She gonna be probably my new work bestie or whatever, because she got it. And I was just like, didn't even have to tell her about him, and she already scoped him out and ran him out. I was like, okay, this is gonna work well. So we gonna have some team building and some camaraderie, and we gonna organize against each other. That's what's gonna happen. If this is gonna be my, you know, last year here, some things are gonna happen.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it. But other than that, it's been going good. Like I said, I'm trying to get back into the swing of working out, because I was told that I really, when I had that surgery, I really couldn't lift things. And then I felt it, because certain things I just could not do from having that. But she told me that it should normally take 4 to 6 weeks before I can like get back and start lifting or really doing some exercises. That's why I'm just like, okay, let me at least walk a mile by the time I heal. So basically I should be good to go probably by like second week, definitely about a third week of August for sure. And then I'll be able to be like, okay, I can go in the gym, get a routine, and really, you know, really work out. And so I'm looking forward to that. I, you know, like I said, still looking for opportunities and everything. I think I basically made a decision, because I know y'all are just finishing with y'all programs, y'all, but I'm about to probably go back to school.
Yes, bitch, do it. Yes.
Sometimes you have to. What are you going to go back for? Yes, do it for me, friend. Do it for me. Maybe you'll be my motivation. Be like, Danny, it's really not that bad.
Programs, and honestly, I'm looking for a program that allows you to have some counseling skills with it. And there's a program at UJ, the University of Georgia. They have a PhD in counseling and student development services. It's like basically leading, not only just leading, but being able to have the skills help students and different people that you're leading be able to understand what's going around them. So you're helping them through a process. And those counseling skills are important. A lot of PhD programs that I've seen is either completely counseling without the higher education leadership component. And UGA has kind of like this mixed hybrid program, and with the opportunity to get on a professional track for counseling. You know what, UGA, I might, you know, if I, that's if they accept me, let me not make it seem like I'm
you got it. They going to accept you. You got it.
We going to claim it in the name of Jesus. Yes. Don't play.
Put it out in the universe. And
yes, receive that.
I mean, literally, their application is due, y'all, and like, I think it's either December or January. So I'm actually in the process of getting some resources together, because I'm like, let me at least know when would be coming up for the next year because they do fall cohorts only, and so when you accept that it'll work. But I am still applying for this one job at UGA, so if I get it.
Oh, yes, that'll be a sign, Chaz. It's gotta make that move.
A huge sign. So that's been looking good for me. I mean, my week has been, it's been decent outside of, you know, those little hiccups, but I'm looking forward to some new things. I'm really excited about that.
Good. Everything's
going to happen the way it's supposed to, Michael, too.
Yes. Everything the way it's supposed to.
Yes. Shout out. We're making moves, y'all.
We are.
Yes.
Doing the work of the Lord, the challenging and yet necessary work of the Lord. Shoot. Yes. But now we are going to move over to our shout out segment, Black, Brilliant, and Beautiful. What y'all find this week?
Oh, I got a few that I've been seeing some. So the first one is this 11-year-old. He is a vegan chef, and he became the CEO of a plant-based Caribbean restaurant.
Omari
McQueen. Yes, and he's the youngest award-winning vegan chef in the UK.
Wow.
And so in addition to being the founder of his own company, Dipalicious, he's now CEO of a restaurant of the same name.
Nice.
Aww. Wow.
Yes.
That is
awesome. I just thought that is so amazing. And so he wants to do Caribbean foods, you know, and so he wants to kind of, I don't think he has a menu just yet, it says, but he loves like Love and Jerk, Caribbean Kick, and Cocoa Curry, those type of cuisines. I'm not familiar with those, but they sound divine. So, shout out to him, 11 years old and doing big things.
Amazing.
Making moves. And I just love hearing about little Black kids in other countries because, and this is what I want to put emphasis on my students, that we are all the same. We all the Black people came from the same place. We just were dropped off in different locations, you know? Yes. So we all face the same racism and all that stuff, you know? And sometimes it's easier to see our stuff in the States, not realizing that there's Black people in other countries dealing with the same, if not worse, situation. So just to see him overcoming stereotypes, even in the UK, and just a little entrepreneur. Like, I love it.
Yes.
And then Nas and Will Smith. Did you guys see that?
Yes,
investing in an app for teens that will help them become financial literate. And so I just think that's amazing too, because you know they're not teaching that in school. So we definitely need to keep a lookout for that app. I had somebody comment on it and was like, hell, they letting adults sign up too? Big facts, because we all can benefit from some financial literacy. You hear me?
Yeah, right.
So shout out to Nas and Will. And I think that's important because you have people with all this money, and not saying we need to be up in folks' pockets, but if we talk about changing the world, it does take money and influence. Yes, and what are you doing to help our youth? You know what I mean? Whether that's donating back to schools or creating apps like these to, you know, for their long haul of growth, if that makes sense. Absolutely. For the long haul. So that stuff is important. So I love it when I see famous people or wealthy people using their own money to benefit the youth in the community. So that's what's up. Then my third article is called Black Girls Do Swim, and it's about the swim team in North Carolina, A&T. They kind of made history. It's like the only, I want to say they were the only swim team. Howard has a swim team as well, but they were the only Black swim team in the NCAA Division I. So that's how they made history. But unfortunately, like, they had to cut the swim program at that university due to funding. You know how they do. When it's the collegiate level, it has to be not only an even amount of sports, the sports has to make some type of money, you know. And so I think that's how they kind of determine, you know, with budget cuts and stuff like that, what stays and what goes. And so despite them being, they kind of closing the program down, at least while they were in it, they were able to show other swim teams, like, Black people do swim. We're not, you know, that's just a stereotype. We out here too. We can do all the sports, aquatic too, not just basketball and football and whatever. So shout out to those ladies. And it just makes me sad when I hear, like, programs being cut, especially at HBCUs, you know, right. because we Black people, we do whatever we want to do. We have all types of interest, you know, and creating a space where we can do that is important, because I guarantee, you know, other universities weren't knocking down their door for them to join swim teams. You know what I mean? Yes. And so HBCUs allowed them that space to kind of do what they're interested in. So I hope more HBCU grads donate back into their schools, because white people do it all the time with PWIs.
Right.
And I'm not sure Black graduates of HBCUs are giving the way that white counterparts do to their universities, alma mater. So I think that's kind of what it boils down to, is really kind of giving that money back.
Absolutely.
To these institutions at all levels, not just at the collegiate level, but pre-K through 12. I mean, give back to your school, whether it's school supplies or whatever, you know?
Implementing a program at the
implementing a program, level. A mentorship program, whatever it may be, a workshop, you know? There's so many different ways. There's so many ways you can give back to your community. It doesn't always have to be money. So,
that's true.
Yeah. So those were my three that I saw that I just loved and wanted to share. So shout out to all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael, y'all have about that married couple who opened up the first Black cancer center.
Yes, I saw that.
I thought that was like real cool. Just to see that. You know, our Black people are out here making moves, doing things that we have never been able to do before. You know what I'm saying? And then the fact that it is a married couple that was able to open that up and really show us that, you know, this is still something that we need to focus on, and that it's important to, you know, make sure that that is being at the forefront of our minds when it comes to our community or whatever. And so just seeing that article and thinking about what they're actually doing for the community just makes me feel really good. And so I just wanted to shout them out, definitely. And let me try to see if I can find their names, because like this is at, look at God, right. Just right there. It was right. It was right there. And so let me see if I can find their names. So the name of the article that I read about is called Philadelphia Black, a Philadelphia couple opens only Black owned cancer center in the United States. And it says, I'm gonna read the first little bit. It says, if it doesn't exist, create it. That's the attitude Al and Marjani Harris took when they created the only Black-owned cancer support center currently in the United States. The two have been supporting cancer patients and their families for the past 7 years, but saw a need to establish a place where individuals could receive support outside of the typical treatment centers. And so that's like the epitome of like what community is, you know what I mean? Just making sure that our community does have that support and love that is required to be able to go through these battles, because that's exactly what it is. It's a battle that you're fighting, you know, to make sure that you're being your healthiest self and that you are you know, overcoming this illness and whatnot. And so just being able to have that support, you know, from someone, from an organization that comes from your own community is definitely needed and welcomed, you know what I mean? So
absolutely. And then when you talk about, I mean, you know, still we talk about the history of Black people's relationship with doctors and medical services, and so creating that space where we can come, and you, because, you know, I don't know, I mean, again, cancer runs rapid in the Black community, and so having a place where we can go with people who look like us, and we know that they're really going to be genuine in helping us receive the best care is important. So shout out to them.
Yes, I mean, because like you know that they have like their other communities have those types of organizations and whatnot, and But it's like important to make sure that we have those so that we can go into those spaces and see people that look like us, that know the information that we need, you know, we need to be able to know in order to make sure that, like, not only are we, you know, fighting the good fight, you know what I'm saying, and overcoming, but also dealing with it spiritually and emotionally, because that is an aspect that's attached to it as well. Like, you are feeling, like, emotionally different when you're dealing with those types of ailments and whatnot. And then not only is it impacting you, but it's impacting your family as well. And so just being able to have that supportive organization that has information and different services for you to be able to work through that is just amazing. So I definitely want to shout them out for doing that and filling that need within the community.
Yes.
And so we are now going to move over to our main topic segment, The Vent. And this week, Michael has the conversation starter, and we're going to talk about race and racism. And so go ahead and take it away, bro.
Yes. So I don't know if everybody has seen this, and I really want to bring this forward to kind of kick off this conversation about our racial climate. And it's not that anything new, but just a casual reminder that even in 2019, when Black people say that we are experiencing these racist experiences and that this is what's happening in our lived reality, to actually believe us. And so I want to bring everyone's attention to a story that happened in Raleigh, North Carolina, where this woman basically used, you know, she called the Black women at a table, they were at a diner somewhere, she called them the N-word, and basically saying, like, oh, it's because I have anxiety and all these other types. And so I am just, it just never ceases to amaze me that white people especially can get away with calling us racist and derogatory words. And it's like, those are just, not to mention the type of actions and practices they put into place to basically subvert ourselves and to have us be living in a society that is continuously against us based on their standard. Right. And so I wanted to just have a conversation again about the ways in which, you know, we are Black in America, and it can extend beyond America because we know anti-Blackness is global.
Yes, it
is. But just speaking about our experiences in the U.S., this doesn't make it, I mean, it's tiring. We're ever vigilant and organizing against these type of efforts because we know it's not right. It violates our human rights, it violates who we are as people and our identity development, all of those things. And this woman just based, and what the killing part, y'all, what kills me is that this woman says that she is not going to apologize for calling them the N-word and said that she would say it again. I'm like, baby, you bold. Tell you something.
That's just asking for an ass whooping, like
a beat down.
Sometimes people want you to show your color.
Yeah, so they can try to.
They want you to act ignorant. Yeah. It's like
they can try to justify that shit. But look at how they're acting. We're using words, and they're using fists. They're using they like that shit.
Oh my gosh.
And it's so frustrating because oftentimes, I mean, historically speaking, like, white people have always dominated positions of power. And so if the people that are in the positions of power can frustrate you to that extent and wait for you to try to swing on them because they know they're going to reap the rewards, it's like you fucking nefarious bitches. Y'all are really setting us up for extreme failure. And I mean, we recognize this, but sometimes you push person, you're not gonna be up in my face disrespecting me. And especially if the person, the owner of this establishment, is not gonna do something to get you up out of my space, I'm gonna take it to the next level.
Absolutely.
And it may not be the best decision, but you're not gonna antagonize me.
You're not never gonna walk up in my space. I'm sorry. If you enter my bubble, then you enter my range of the range of my fist, bitch. And you welcome your own energy into receiving the connection of that fist. So, bitch, if you ever
let it vibrate,
to me,
loud,
I'm telling
against your body.
Yes.
No.
Because you got me fucked up.
And it's just like, I'm saved, you know? The Lord has been working with me. But it's like, the devil will come, fool. This is why they called them white devils back in the day, because that literally is nothing but the devil. For you to just come up to somebody and put your, you know, like that reminds me. Some Richard's aunt and I were talking, and she was just I don't know what made us talk about this, but she was telling me, like, back in the day, she was at, I think she's at a grocery store, and this little white boy said, "Mommy, there's a nigger right there." I said, "Ooh, girl, what did you say?" She said, "I looked at the mama, because you know they learn from their parents, you know, somebody in the home." He said, "A whole nigger, you know."
Right.
She said, she looked at her and said, "And that's how you get your ass whooped." I said, "You said that to her?" She was like, "Yes, she needs to know." Yes. And so the woman caught herself hitting and cussing at her son. "Don't you ever say that again. Like, sis, don't put on, because you know he's the reason. I mean, you're the reason he's talking like that." Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Right. Right.
I'm glad that I haven't been in any situations like that. But when I tell you, if I were, I don't really know how I would respond. I would want to think that I would be able to keep my composure and educate somebody. But you never know. Like, if my vibration is not riding high that day, I might just go ahead and oblige you with an ass woman. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and it depends on the who it is. Yes. You know, like, and I was telling her too, like, that's growth. Like, you know, it's growth. Like, we go through, I feel like as Black people, we go through different stages and seasons in our life with how we approach racism. And that's everybody, you know. I feel like back in the day, like for me, I had got called a colored girl one time. Like, "You're a really pretty colored girl." Excuse me? Like, but at the time I was like in high school and I couldn't even say anything. I just couldn't believe she had called me a colored girl, you know. Right now in my season, I would have taken the opportunity to educate her.
Yes.
Sis, I don't know where you heard that word from, but you can call me Black or African American. And you damn right, I'm fine as fuck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful. But we're not going to call, I mean, you know, it's a difference between, I think that's, I mean, some people don't need a good cussing out.
Yeah. Because some people know what the fuck they're doing. I mean, some people literally know what they're doing. I could see the people who just don't know, like, and I feel like in a lot of cases you can tell the difference, and that's where it's up to, for us to be able to determine, okay, where are they coming from in this situation, you know what I'm saying? Right. But at the same time, that's the same that's the thing that us as people of color have been dealing with for so long, is having to think for other people where they should be thinking for themselves. Like, people really have to stop and start thinking about, okay, is this thing that I'm getting ready to say from out of my mouth, how will it be interpreted? What do I really mean when I say this particular thing? Is it another way that I can express this? Like, you really have to start thinking about what you're saying before you say it, because in today's society, ignorance is not bliss. It's not.
Right. It's not.
Like, we are in the living in the age of technology. So everything is just a Google search away. Right. And I mean, a bitch like me always have trouble with figuring out which word I'm thinking about using. You know what I'm saying? But you know what you can do? Type the definition into Google and let Google tell you what the fuck that means. They have plenty of synonyms and adjectives and adverbs and nouns, verbs, bitch. Like, you will be able to figure out exactly what you need to say by just doing this quick little Google search. So ignorance is not necessarily bliss anymore. So you have to really start thinking about what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're getting ready to do and how it's going to impact somebody else.
Right. And some people, though, you just can't even give them that satisfaction. Some people are unfortunately just pure ignorance, and it would not have benefited them ladies for fighting it, even though that girl deserved a good ass whooping, mollywop, her hair on the floor type ass whooping, but it would have just not even been worth it. You know, some people like that is just pure. You just have to just pray for him and go on.
Yeah.
Or hope karma gets that ass. Like, you know what? I hope somebody breaks into your car and fucking Right. Steals your fucking radio and your fucking
that's a low steering wheel at your right car. These are low vibrational thoughts.
Right. No, but you know what? No, fuck all that.
True.
Because if y'all get a chance,
I told y'all the Lord's not done with me yet.
Yeah. But look,
I want somebody to put sugar in your gas tank. Fuck your whole car.
If y'all see the video.
Mm-hmm.
And see how and Frank she is mm-hmm. talking about what she's not going to do and how she's going to do it again. She's daring them or daring anybody to touch her about what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
I hope she gets fired from her job. I don't know what she does for a living.
I hope she,
but and then I hope that she and I hope she McDonald's won't even hire her racist ass.
Right.
They're that. What I hope for. How about that?
But see, that's what we call blatant ignorance right there. Yes. Like, that's people who are choosing to be ignorant even when the education is right at their fingertips.
And the research, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And now those are the type of people that you can't, ain't no saving them. It ain't no saving them. You know what I mean? And it is what it is. Like, but what you can do is try to save that next generation. Get them to see what the reality of the situation really is that we are all human. We are all a part of the human race, and we need to be working together so that we can create a better future for one another. Instead of seeing these differences and separating and segregating ourselves off like the way that we are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And white people need to start checking their family.
It doesn't
even make sense because people be like, I'm Libra, I love black people, I got all these black friends. Okay, well, what about your grandmama mm-hmm. and your aunties mm-hmm. and your cousins? Are you educating them because they're still raising up racists?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, come on, check them. That's your job. I'm tired of it. I'm not checking nobody.
And it's not Google our responsibility.
It's not my responsibility. Like,
but then we have to make it our responsibility when ignorant ass bitches come up in our face, and then we have to slap their ass because they talking crazy. Or they trying to do something crazy. Like, because when it, like, another thing is when people put their hands on you. Like, when people try to grab you or touch you and, like, run through. No, like, you don't ever put your hand. And I feel like we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But as soon as you contact a person of color, a black person especially, it's done because then you opened up yourself. You opened yourself up to this can of ass whooping that you are about to receive. And you gotta pray over it because you're about to receive it, and it's gonna be good for the nourishment of your life. Because I'm about to teach you something. I'm gonna teach you a lesson that you will never forget.
And then I'm gonna press charges on your ass.
Because you put your hands on me first.
Yeah.
And I need to make sure that somebody sees. Did you see this person touch me? Then he touched me, and then I whoop your ass. And then it is what it is. It's like, you have to be mindful of your actions. You have to be mindful of your words, because we are living in 2019 where everybody should be responsible for themselves in their actions. And if you focused on yourself and you focused on your actions and the words that are coming out of your mouth, and think about those things instead of just thinking about whatever Trump said on TV yesterday, mm-hmm. then you will probably save yourself from a lot of the hardship that you are about to receive.
But how do y'all, I want to ask, like, just given all of these types of, you know, notions of, you know, racist upbringings, and then some of the things that we've done as black people to, like, basically subvert those types of things. So the spaces that we go into and opportunities that we see to do something, like, I call it, like, the opportunities to do something black. Mm-hmm. Like, as far mm-hmm. as anything that I can do to, like, show resistance against a system that clearly is not here to support my promotion or advance. And so whenever the opportunity arises, I'll do something that I know is going to be either questionable or people are going to be like, oh, this person's trying to push the envelope. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm in meetings and talking about certain things, like, bitches really be just sitting up here having a whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, first of all, what y'all are talking about don't even pertain to me. But because I want to include myself, I'm going to include myself and center blackness.
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. I do.
And let's see what y'all have to contribute to that conversation. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, I feel like more of that we can do, especially not amongst even ourselves, but amongst our students who might be attending or might be living in predominantly white, or might be attending predominantly white schools or institutions. Mm-hmm. Like, there are ways in which we can help support them, because it's really unfortunate that our youth, especially if that's the situation that they're in, have to be able to be dealing with all of that. Like, it's stressful as fuck. It's already stressful to be going to and graduating from anybody's school to get a degree. And then you have to deal with microaggressions, racism, discrimination on top of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a lot. So it's, I mean, there's certain things that we can do to try to make that experience much better for each other and our Black students. I mean, I'm not saying that other people of color don't go through discrimination, but oh my goodness, this thing called anti-Blackness and its relationship to white supremacy is fierce. And the way in which we experience the type of discriminations that we experience is going to be very different than other people of color. You know what I mean? And oftentimes, you know, some people have issues with this, but I, you know, when it comes to very important conversations, I tend to stay away. Depending on what the conversation is, if it's a Black issue, I'm not going to say people of color, because a lot of white people say that to try to mix it in with the Kool-Aid, like it ain't that bad. No, because this issue doesn't affect
all people look at
other person of color the way in which it specific and uniquely targets Black African-American people. So we can't just be talking about people of color. No, say Black, bitch. Like, say that when we're talking about this, because this is what we're talking about. And I just be noticing those types of things. I'm like, wait a minute. Why is these fools scared to say Black when I'm talking about Black people, Black experiences, and you study, say, students of color? Because that lends itself to a whole
different, because like you said, all of our experiences aren't the same. We all are going through different struggles and different forms of racism, but it's not the same at all.
It's just not. And I'm just like, when I'm talking about the racism that Black people experience, it's very specific. It's very distinct. You cannot sit up here and mistake it for anything else.
Right.
And to try to morph that into, oh, it's an entire people of color problem. No, you don't do that, because then that's how resources don't get funneled the way that they need to be funneled, or programmed the way that they need to develop, or the leadership that needs to take a stand and articulate what the Black experience happened. So it's like, we have to be very direct. And I mean, I know we have to be strategic too. I'm not taking away from strategizing, but we cannot get mixed up when it comes to the things that are going to continue to affect us. And we have to be clear about it. And I mean, for example, like, I don't even know this white woman's name, but this broad set up here, and I, you know, like, I just really just, y'all, it just took me out, because in my mind, I'm like, who do these people think they are? And this is basically lending itself to cultural appropriation. Like, same old, same old. She basically stood up here and said that she made the hair bonnet. And she's trying to sell it for $100.
I saw that.
Like,
and please go sit the fuck down, bitch. Because what, bitch? Out of all these Black beautiful women that you see around here,
I ain't never heard no white folks tying their hair down.
I'm telling you, girl, cause for what? What is a white person tying their hair down for? Why?
Cause they wear they wash their hair every single day.
So, and like, what's the problem?
But
more importantly,
it does not. It doesn't. It doesn't.
We got some extra special stuff going on here.
Because they just want, they think it's cute.
Yes.
They think it's cute that we wear hair bonnets. Oh, I want to wear a hair bonnet too. Bitch, I just can't.
Like, what are you wearing a bonnet for? Why? What do you need one for?
Their boxer braid.
Get out of here.
And their wave caps.
Get the fuck out, please. Cause, and the fact that it's $98, bitch. $98, girl. Who buying that?
Because I can get one for $2.
At the beauty supply store, bitch. Like,
at the beauty supply store.
Somewhere.
Like,
and they stupid as hell, because you know somebody's buying it.
Oh, bitches are definitely buying it. Definitely buying it. Damn. Dumb.
Probably getting them in all the colors too. Can I'm I have two?
You. I mean, I want that purple one right there, because it, like, it matches.
So I just want them to sleep.
I can't. I just, ugh.
I can see why they would, once they find out, like, oh, Black people do it to protect their hair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe we should protect our, you know.
But it's not the same. We don't have the same hair.
We don't have the same hair.
We don't have the same hair.
But that's just like them using, now they want to use coconut oil. I thought y'all wasn't putting oil in y'all's hair because it looks nasty and ratty when you do.
Yes.
Right.
But now all of a sudden y'all buying coconut oil and stuff like that and putting it on your skin and your and your hair and stuff.
But that's
and
y'all wasn't doing it. Different strokes for different folks. It's just like that PSA that I said a few episodes ago. Like, just because you want to, it's great that you want to show respect for something. It's great that you want to, you know, show appreciation for something and all that good stuff. That's beautiful. That's welcome. However, everything is not for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, if you know coconut oil make your face break out, bitch, don't be trying to be like, oh my God, I just bought this new coconut oil. No, girl, that's not for you. Like, if you don't have no kind of, if you never have hairstyles to where you need to wear a bonnet, bitch, do not make no bonnets. Don't make them, don't buy them, don't sell them, don't do none of the above, because it's not for you. It's not for you. Like, it's just that's the epitome of what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is not for everybody, and you do not have to always be included in the conversation. You don't always need to have a seat at that particular table, because that particular table was not set for you. Point blank, period. Point blank, period. Like, that when I heard about that, it just, like, I was like, when I first heard about it, I laughed at it and just kept on scrolling. And then when I realized that it was real and that it was an actual thing, I was like, bitch, are you kidding me? Like, is this not what we just talked about?
Right.
Like, and this is really happening? Like, I'm over it. I'm over
it. And Black Twitter drug her ass.
Just of course.
You know they did.
Of course. Because, girl, what? You invented the who? Bitch, you better go sit down. Shut up. Because you don't know. You're uninformed. And that's what I'll be talking about. Go to Google. Go sit your ass in front of that computer and Google.
Let me just read one of the tweets that one of the, you know, people from Black Twitter has said. And this is, but it was, this person said, so let me get something straight. A white woman is capitalizing on satin for $98 as if it's some new thing she just invented. My Black grandma, who yelled at me for not keeping my bonnet on overnight, is rolling in her damn grave. I just know
it. You hear me?
Like, what? What do they think this is?
I don't understand. I don't understand. I just don't understand. Like, it really pisses me off. Like,
it really does.
Out of all this, literally, you could just go so many different avenues. You could go to the beauty supply store and just take a look before you ever decide that something is yours. But it's like, that's them with the whole world. The whole wide world. They think they have the whole wide world in their hands. But you're not God. No. There were people who were here before you that created things before the thought came into your mind. And you need to know that. And you need to be able to respect that and then keep it pushing. Because that particular thing is not for you, boo-boo. It's just not. Like, and I mean, it's not, that ain't me trying to be negative or like be harmful or have any harmful intent towards anybody. It's just a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. If you go to a new place, if it wasn't like a volcano just erupted and created this new actual space, if it was people that were already there, if it's already been inhabited, it's not yours, boo. It's not. Like, same goes with culture, same goes with objects and inventions, the same goes with everything, girl. Like, if somebody else was there first, it's not you, boo. And that's just
but as you know what? It's just when you have people who disregard people, you know, in general, you know what I mean, as humans, and they then it's nothing for them to just take the culture and forget the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was watching this little four wedding show on TLC. This country ass white girl, and I'm not, you know, you don't want to assume, you know, but her whole theme of her wedding was Mexican Fiesta.
Oh my God.
But you know good damn well that she's not doing anything to bring attention to the immigration issues or whatever the case may be, you know? So it's okay for them to use the culture but disregard the things that people are actually going through with
them. The lives, the experiences.
And it just amazes me. It amazes me that people don't.
It's frustrating.
It is. It is.
Like, and that's why, like, when I think about, like, work and stuff, and all of the frustrating shit that goes on there, that's like, that's small potatoes. You know what I'm saying? When it's shit, like, whole ass shit like this that is going on in the world that you think about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, are you fucking kidding? Like, that shit is small potatoes compared to all of this. Like, people is really out here thinking they invented the bonnet. But girl, what? What? Are you serious? You're really for real. And then you charge, I just can't get over the fact that they charge a 98 motherfucking bitch ass dollars for a fucking bonnet. Like, what, girl? Shut your ass. Like, please. I just, it's so frustrating because it's like you're like you said, totally disregarding these people who have been here, been using this, been doing this for so long. And you guys have said that we're ghetto for doing it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. We That's ghetto. The killing part.
But then when you do it because you do it as, oh, it's this fashionable. Is fashion forward, or this is edgy, this is the new it thing, now it's okay. Now you can charge $98 and expect everybody to buy it. Like, are you kidding? Like,
or, you that's know how they wear, you know, the braids and stuff, or kink up, trying to kink up their hair for fashion, but yet little black girls and little black boys is getting kicked out of their schools because of how they're wearing their hair.
People losing jobs.
Yeah, won't even be considered for positions just because of their hair.
Right.
And y'all going around playing like it's just make believe. Right. Like, what the hell?
And it's the same.
And I think that's a part too, them not seeing their privilege as well. You know, for sure. And not using that to address, you know, other situations. There was an issue in our hometown, and it's public knowledge. So if anybody from my hometown is like, Danny, I know who Danny talking about. So this girl grew up in the town, white girl. Her and her friend, I'm guessing, is driving back from somewhere. She's driving and drunk and swerves to hit a deer and runs into a tree. The passenger, her friend, which was also her roommate at the time, was stuck in the car and died from smoke and fire because the car caught on fire. They didn't give her a sobriety test until about 5 hours later.
Wow.
This happened like 5 years ago, and she hasn't had to serve one day in jail, and she was just found guilty but will not receive any jail time.
Wow.
Wait a minute.
Yes. Wow. And so she recently married my cousin. She's pregnant now. She's about to be due. And it's like, I know the girl, and you don't want anybody to go to jail, you know, because there's been times where my friends have driven me drunk as fuck, you know, and it wasn't nothing but God that we made it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, but at the end of the day, you know that if the tables were turned, that girl would have been buried under the jail. And she was a Hispanic girl, too. Yeah. She was Hispanic. You know good damn well the situation would be totally different for her. And that's what I think people don't understand, you know. And, you know, people were so upset, like, you know, she's getting a slap on the wrist. And, you know, the family is grieving. You know, they lost their child, you know.
Right. Because
people want to drink. And that just goes into a bigger discussion on drinking and driving and stuff like that. But I think what people don't realize is that, you know, yes, we're giving this girl, oh, poor her. Now she's a wife. Now she's about to be a mother. But it was like, if this was that other girl and she had been the one driving, she would have been still in jail and probably would have spent the rest of her life in jail. Or they would have at least given her 10 years. I guarantee you that.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
And those are the differences that people don't want to acknowledge when it comes to the mistreatment of people of color and black people in particular, and the differences between those type of outcomes, because we're really talking about outcomes. That's a outcome-centric type of conversation. Like, the outcomes are inequitable, extremely inequitable. And it's like, I hate the whole old adage, oh, you know, it's an even playing field. Pull yourself up out of your bootstraps.
Yeah. No. We weren't all given boots. Listen. Hello?
Yeah, hello. Bitches had
no boots, make their no own straps, boots and shit. Still trying to get by them. Boot trying to pass. Like, mm-hmm. quit that. Like, that is, yeah. that just frustrates efforts to really even believe that we are in this democratic society and we all have the same rights and human right. rights. That is just not, it's not it's the reality. Not. Mm-hmm. It's
and not you know, that is so crazy you say that because I was talking to my mom, my mother-in-law, and, you know, she's in the medical field. She's a nurse, you know, mm-hmm. and so she currently works for a children's hospital, kind of like, you know, when they're having like mental health issues, a lot of times they will check the child in, stuff like that, you know. And so I was kind of asking her, like, the demographics, like, do you see more white kids? Do you see more black kids? You know, stuff like that. You see a lot more white kids, you know, and they give them disorders like behavioral or disorderly contact disorder, while our black kids are being sent to jail. Mm-hmm. And their kids, for the same things, are being checked into hospitals and being labeled with a disorder as opposed to, you know, having yep. to spend the rest of their lives.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. It's that, it's like, they have expanded the good old boy system, and that's literally our judicial system now.
Yes, and I mean, you know, and that goes into the whole school to prison pipeline mm-hmm. as well. You yep. know what I'm saying? While our kids are being pushed out of the schools, you know, you use because at the end of the day, our kids don't have these behaviors for nothing. It's mm-hmm. trauma. Yeah. It's trauma, and it right. all stems from slavery mm-hmm. and. You know, the mindset that they had on the black family and dividing the black family and keeping the black man out of the home and mm-hmm. therefore making it the mom's job to run a household and therefore not looking after her kids because she got to make sure there's the lights are on and food's on the table right. and XYZ. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's like they don't see like the bigger picture of why kids are the way that they are, the trauma that they hold on to. You know, yeah. Dr. Adolph Brown that I mentioned earlier, he said that trauma is not what happens to you, it's what happens inside of you.
Mm. Right.
That is a very good point. You yes. know, our yes. trauma is the reason why we think the way we think, we act the way we act. You know, it's all this internal things and it affects the decisions that we make.
Yes.
Right.
And it's like, oh, you don't always even recognize or like, you know, when you were, especially when you were a kid, you don't recognize the things that were traumatic all the time.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because some things that were actually traumatizing to you, you might have thought were normal. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which, like, verbal abuse is like one of the main things because
oh, yeah.
I know that's very prevalent in the black community.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it's like... You grow up thinking that that's just normal. That's just how my mama talks. She just talked like that. Mm-hmm. But no, that's traumatic. And then that yeah, and yeah. that does something to you. And then you go out into the world and you're dealing with people who don't speak like that, you know. And you're dealing with the mindset of, oh, you know, am I stupid? Like, am I dumb? Because my mama was right. always telling me that. And you don't even realize that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't even realize the role that it plays upon you, the strings that are attached to you that are right. limiting you throughout life. You know, but it's like you have to think about all of those things and how they play a part into your the manifestation of the things that are going on in your life. You know, the way you see yourself in life, if you love yourself or if you don't love yourself, and how you think about the world, how you look at the world. You know, it all plays a role into who you are and what goes on within your life. And it's like you do have to really examine those things and break that stuff down and identify what that stuff is so that you can work through it and move on. And that's why we say, like, therapy is so important. And, you know, making sure you get a life coach, making sure you get a therapist and things like that, because all of those tools are that they have for you are able to help you navigate through those things instead of just covering them up or ignoring them or just working so much to where you don't even have to think about it, because either way, it's going to manifest itself, you know, mm-hmm. one way or another. It's going to manifest.
Absolutely.
But they don't. People just totally disregard that. It's one thing when you're thinking about your children and your community, but when it's another race or it's another, you know, ethnic group or another community, then you don't give a fuck. You don't even think about it. It doesn't play a role. Oh, they grown. They know what they're doing. They're well bodied. Mm-hmm. They're well able. No, you don't know.
That's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's so real, and it's so frustrating. It just, you know, all really ties back to society and how everything is, you know, standardized through a white race, and how, you know, based on those standards, if you don't, you know, meet them, then, you know, that's also, you know, quote unquote, an indicator of your success, so to speak,
right.
And all these other types of things, and how that also adds trauma and what goes on with us and how we're trying to fight to grasp something that we even have to, we should really sit back and ask ourselves, hey, do we really want to aspire to that?
Right.
Is that something that we really want? You know, the quote unquote American dream, so to speak, not really getting the chance to understand ourselves while we're still measuring ourselves against a white racist system and institutions and practices and beliefs and policies and structures. All of the and notions, all of these things, and we still are, you know, especially within our families, told what it is that we need to do to be successful. But truly, honestly, is that really success for us to say that we just basically, you know, made it to that standard? Right. You know what I mean? Like we just acclimated to this, and we just fell into the fold, so to speak, in the fabric of whiteness, and that we're supposed to be happy now because we have what they have.
And it's not, because it's all an illusion. Because they be having the shit, and they ain't even happy. They ain't even happy. They wanna be included in what we doing. Like they looking at what we doing, and trying to emulate that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you ain't even happy with yourself and who you are and what you have. But then you want me to aspire to that? Like, no, why aren't we upholding our own beliefs? Why are we erasing, you know, these false narratives and these false illusions and creating our own narrative? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because that's what it's all about. That's why, who was it? Y'all remember a few years back when they was talking about the Oscars being so white, and they was saying that we need to boycott the Oscars and create our own. Yeah, that's why those things are so important, which is why it's like, yes, the BET Awards is so motherfucking
what it is. It is so us. It's so us. It never disappoints.
Yes,
even when they have those raggedy-ass technical issues at the beginning, you know it's just the culture. Black folks can't do shit right, unfortunately.
It just always happens.
A hiccup, but that's okay. It's still going to be a vibe.
And it's ours. And that's why it's like people like a lot of like, especially like the black artists and stuff like that, they appreciate that so much. The Image Awards, different things like that, it matters so much because that is ours. We created that, and we're appreciating ourselves. So what we built and the hard work that we did, that's what matters. Not what the fucking white people think, because at the end of the day, their opinion does not it does not apply to us in our community. It doesn't. I'm sorry, it doesn't. Like it can apply to them and theirs, but it is what it is.
Yeah. It always makes me think of the Jeffersons. And, you know, as much as I love them and I love what they've done for not only television, but for Black television and representation and stuff like that, the message fucked us up as a Black community.
Oh, for sure.
Because the whole message of getting out the hood and living amongst the white folks, you know, I think to me it was about dividing us, you know? Separating us because we're a stronger force together. We were just talking about how when Mexicans get together, they be all living under the same roof and everybody eating. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they creating businesses and all that stuff, but we don't do that. We don't come together and really just build and put our coins together and really make the businesses really the way we should. And that and I think that requires us to really be in our community too. You know, so many times like we make it, you know, we do well for ourselves and then leave our communities and we neglect them, you know? And then 10 years later, white people coming along to clean it up because the property value didn't drop and gentrify it and skyrocket the prices and push Black people out.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, we could just clean it up and do it by the block and do it ourselves.
Clean it up ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we don't have to, our, you know, we were, when you think of like Tulsa and mm-hmm. like right. just the thought of like these communities having black ass places, like establishments, you know, mm-hmm. businesses, and now they're absolutely gone. Like, but what was the difference? Black people were coming together back then and we making moves and saying, what you got? We're going to start this over here. We're going to start this over here, you know? Yes. And it's like, we're not doing that anymore.
It was the unity of community. And that's why, mm-hmm. like, I always try and preach about that. Like, you know, we are a village and we have to start seeing ourselves as a large village. Yes, mm-hmm. we are supposed to network with one another. We are supposed to support one another. Don't always be asking for discounts because, bitch, no. That's how a person right. is building their brand. That's how they're building mm-hmm. their organization. Support them.
You don't ask white folks for a discount.
Right.
Well, shit, maybe you do, but...
Yeah, bitch, just be waiting for clearance. But still, but shit, like... if you want the discount, you wait until the discount comes. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
right.
give the business owner the opportunity to give you a discount instead of always asking.
To do
that. Yeah, because if you really believe in your community and you believe in what we can do, then support. And then when we get to the place to where we can hire people, like, you know, we have jobs available mm-hmm. and we have resources available, then we can do more for the community. But we have to get up off the ground first. We have to get our foot out, you know, in the door so that we can actually do what it is that we were put on this in this universe to do. You know what I'm saying? But we have to be able to support one another. We have to be able to help each other spiritually and emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, and then financially most of all, because that's how we are able to run this economic race.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying? The only way is by investing in each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, it's a whole...
Scared money don't make money.
Ain't that it?
Right. That it? Come on, somebody.
Like, we have,
and
to
that's why I think
moves.
I love that when I talked about last time, the guy from The Wire mm-hmm. creating those grocery stores in New Orleans.
Yeah,
you have to do that. You have to create means of survival. People need a grocery store. They need access to fresh veggies and fruits. But then now you're also opening jobs. Yeah. You know, people need work, and when you build, you know, bring that stuff to the community, that's how it flourishes,
right?
Because people then want to come and stay and buy homes, and that in return, the property taxes helps out the schools, you know. Right. So,
and we need the whole system too. Shit, we need black owned pencils. We need black owned paper clips. We need black owned paper. Black owned cars. We need black owned sheets and pillowcases and pillows. Well, like, we really have to start thinking about all of this stuff. We have to think about everything so that we can make sure to have our own piece of the pie, because this is our world too. You know what I'm saying? Right. This is our world too, and we don't have to always subscribe to somebody else's rules and ways of being and whatnot when we have the ability to get up and do it ourselves. But that's why it all goes back to being able to support one another and encourage mm-hmm. one another and play our part and play our role. You know
because
saying?
A lot of times we don't think that we can all eat, and that's the problem. That's what the white man then put mm-hmm. in our heads, that we have to be against each other mm-hmm. instead of together. And I think that's also a part of the whole trying to move on up and be toe-to-toe with the white folks, and they
Crabs
only
in
let
a
certain amount certain amount of black people in, and so we feel like we gotta push other people down to get ahead. And it's like, no, we can create our own utopia. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We ain't got to be a part of their white world,
right,
for the mess and cocaine. I don't know, it just sounds
Right. Facts, big facts. That's big facts.
Yes, y'all. This. I mean, the political climate that we in, y'all, and all the things that are being said, and just the blatant racism, and just the disrespect and the disregard for our dignity and human rights that, you know, we see so often is it truly is disheartening. Mm-hmm. I mean, it continues to be the case. It's never going to be where I'm ever going to be, you know, okay about how black people are mistreated or how we are just continue to be downtrodden within the U.S. and even globally. I mean, I know we have been talking global anti-blackness, but it is there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's real, and it's all interconnected. And just if we could all come together. Like Danny was saying, we are all Black from the same. We just got dropped off in different areas. When we really understand that power and really figure out how to unite with our identity as Black people, like truly, I think we can become empowered. I know white supremacy has done a number on us. Hell, I mean, white supremacy has done a number on white people because they are delusional.
Absolutely.
And then just the effects that it has had on the Black community and Black identity has been, you know, troublesome to say the least. So, I mean, I feel like at the point where we can unite and come collective effort, and that being centered around our liberation of our people, success and happiness and joy of all Black people, then I think we could really, really begin to do the things that we're talking about being done, but at the rate at which we would like to see it materialize can be increased exponentially. So I really think that I honestly, I don't know how that is going to happen, but it seems like a very clear call to action as far as what to do. Like maybe the execution might be different, or maybe the thought process or how we do that looks different, but it needs to happen on some level.
Mm-hmm. And it's trial and error. It's all trial and error. Try shit, and if it don't work, move on to the next thing. You know what I'm saying? But we can't be scared to do it. It's just like what you said, scared money don't make money. Shit with policies, it's the same shit with everything. Like we have to try things and work together and be there for each other when we fall so that we can pick each other up and say, look, bitch, I know that shit didn't work, but bitch, we're gonna try again, girl.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We have to be able to do that. Like we have to be able to do it, because if we do, then we can build something that is incredible, and we can make moves, the moves that we're looking to make. But if we don't, and we just continue to say, well, that shit ain't gonna work out. Well, it ain't gonna work out because you ain't even tried. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the only reason that it haven't worked out is because you kill the thought. You kill it before it even becomes a thought, before you even allow it to become an actual vibration, to become a manifestation in the universe. You kill it, you know, and it is. Right. It comes back to all of those different ideologies that white people put into our minds, you know, back in slavery. Right. You're not shit. You can't do nothing. You'll never be nothing. You'll never, like, it's that stuff has transferred from generation to generation to generation to generation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We have to undo all of those knots that are acting as obstacles so that we can go ahead and loop the loop and get this shit on through and make the moves that we need to make. It's just it's very clear cut. It's just a matter of actually taking action and not being scared to fail, not being scared to fall, so you can learn from those mistakes and move forward.
And I think creating those spaces where, you know, we have the power, we have the control, we set the atmosphere, that it will eliminate some of the interactions we have with racist people. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be a part of no space that is not cohesive to my energy. And clearly, you know, we want to be a part of things so bad that sometimes why can't I sit up in Starbucks without having to deal with no shit? But unfortunately, that's not how the world works. So let's create our own Starbucks.
Yeah.
We don't even have to deal, you know, with a full of our own people, you know?
For sure.
I mean, realistically, it sounds so easy, but it also goes into the whole, you know.
But it can be.
Able to get business loans and stuff like this to create our own. But it can be, you know. We can push it now, and it's happening more and more.
You know how you can do that? Go to these Black-owned banks that a lot of them are online. A lot of them are credit unions. Go to these Black-owned banks and put your money into these Black-owned banks. That way your money is always going back to the Black community. Make sure that you're investing your money into Black-owned businesses. That way your dollar is going right back into the community. So it comes from out of your Black hand into another Black hand, and then goes from that Black hand into a Black bank, and then back into somebody else's Black hand, so that they can end up having their own business loan to start their own business. It's like, it's doable, but we have to be able to support one another to create this system for us. You know what I'm saying? it is much simpler than what we allow ourselves to believe that it is. But it all goes back to changing the thought. And that's like why I do, like why I talk about my, like as far as my business and stuff, like how it is all about changing the mindset of the black man or the black woman. You know, it's all about changing the mindset, because it's like, if we can get ourselves to start thinking differently, then we can start believing differently. Once you get to the point to where you start believing and feeling differently, there's nothing that can ever stop you, because then you're free. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Then you're free.
And that goes for, and when we talk about it, because Killer Mike had actually a really good series on Netflix that talks about his kind of journey with black owned businesses and how hard it was to even, you know, if you're literally saying I'm only spending my money on black businesses and what, and that looks, it's hard. You know what I mean? When you think about even as simple as transportation, you know what I'm saying? And stopping into a restaurant, and in the restaurant, where do they get their meat from? Is it a white company? Is it a black, you know what I'm saying? And so, but it starts, I think, now with the youth, and that's really where I plan to, like, kind of do my part, is like really get them thinking about all the things that they can actually do. You know, we need black farmers, you know what I'm saying? We need the black scientists, we need the black plumbers and electricians, so that when we do have issues with our homes, I can go to you. You know,
it's
to let them know that they can be in these positions. I don't think we think about agriculture the way that we should, and other means of, you know, businesses that we can start. You know, there's so many people ready to give their money to black businesses, but there's just none out there. You know.
But it goes back to you know, really promoting entrepreneurship. You know what I'm saying? A lot of, like I said, like we've said before, a lot of these school systems encourage you to go out and get jobs, which is great, but you get jobs, and honestly, my whole career, and I'm just about to be so real, and like my whole career, I've been looking at each job that I've gotten, I've taken all the information from the job, how to do the job, everything, the whole system, taken it, written it down, taking it with me, literally every single one. Not even front. I don't care. Like I've taken it all, and I've taken it with me. Why? Because what if I'm in a situation to where I want to do this on my own? What if I want to open up an institution to where I can get, you know, different operations or do operations for startups? You know what I'm saying? That's a business within itself. You go into, you work with a startup, help them get their operations and stuff going, and then you go on to the next one. You know what I'm saying? That's a business. Like but you have to think about what it is that you're doing in this job. Even shit, working at churches. I did the cooking, you know, cooked all the food and stuff, did the prepping for the food, did the cashier, you know, even like helped out with the managers and stuff to be able to do like the management tasks and stuff. It's like, then what if you want to open your own franchise? You know how the whole system works. You know what I'm saying? You have to think entrepreneur, like entrepreneur, you know, instead of thinking like a worker, because it's like in our community we were raised to be taught to be workers, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you can be a worker, but you don't have to work for other people. You work for your goddamn self. You know what I'm saying? And create the whole operation and own the whole operation. You got to be strategic about the way the way that you move within your career. Yes, you use your these jobs to gain experience, but you not only to gain experience, to take to somebody else. You take that experience and you take that coin that you stacked up and you apply it to you and your dreams and your passions and what you can do. You know what I'm saying? You have to really think that way, and we have to, because it's not really praised and highlighted in schools, we have to be able to be the ones to say, this is what you should do, this is how you can utilize your skills and apply those to your life to where you can make money for you and feed your community and feed your families without needing these outside sources.
That's real. That is so real.
Did y'all, because that was just powerful. Like, did y'all have any final thoughts about this? Because I mean, I know we can go on forever in a day about it, because it's such a top. It keeps coming up in everything that we do, every how we live, how we operate, how we move. It's constant. So
I think just like making sure that we protect our space and protect our energy, educate as needed, but we don't owe it to white people to help.
Yes, facts. Facts. I think it's like really thinking about like that the few episodes ago, the art of not giving a fuck. Like, you have to master the art of not giving a fuck and learn how to not give a fuck about what people got to say. Fuck what people got to say. Fuck if you want to call me whatever you want to call me. That it is what it is. But don't step to my face. Don't put your hands on me, because then that's when we have a problem. Like, you know, at the end of the day, and don't think that you can just openly and aggressively disrespect me and there won't be repercussions. You know what I'm saying? But when you get to the space to where you don't give a fuck about what somebody else got going on, or what they trying to say, or what they trying to do, and you focusing, you grinding on what you and yours need, and then it is what it is, and you can make those moves that are necessary for you to make, and continue to build and continue to grow and do what you were put on this universe to in this universe to do. You know what I mean? So I mean, if I had any final thoughts, it would just be to, you know, fuck what everybody else got to say and keep doing you, and do you so well, get to the point to where you can do you so well that can't nobody, you know, bag you, like, you know what I'm saying? Can't nobody step to you, because at the end of the day, you become an expert, you become a master, you know? So, I mean, if there was anything that I could add, it would be that.
I can't add any more to what y'all have already said. Everything that I wanted to say, like, y'all always finish everything so beautifully.
Yes. But now we are going to move right over to our final segment of the show, A Word from Our Ancestors. Bro, what you got today?
Today I have a quote from Miss Felicia Rashad. And Miss Rashad said, "Let me just say that to imagine racism does not exist is imagination. And to imagine that it does not create its own set of problems is true imagination. So let's not imagine that racism is gone, extinguished, because it's not. We are seeing this in the top levels of the political, and we are seeing it very, very plainly." So Miss Felicia Rashad spoke, and it resonates very deeply with our topic for tonight and the conversation about racism and the just the climate that we're in, especially in regards to Black identity, development, advancement, all things Black, right? It's up for conversation, because these are the things that we deal with on a these are the things that we have to think about. Yes. At the point where you have to think about it, it is real. It's not
bad. It's real.
You know, it's all types of real. And people don't understand, especially non-Black people, non-Black people of color. You know what I mean? Because our experiences are very different. And so while they may face racism and discrimination, it's on a totally different when it comes to this Black body.
Yes, you know what I mean? Absolutely.
These Black teachers, these Black thoughts, these Black hopes, these Black dreams, all of that is into question. And so, I mean, we have to be very real about what it is that we're experiencing. So that quote resonated deeply with me, because all of this is real.
Yes.
Oh, true.
What a great way to wrap it up.
And all we can do is just fight it every single day. That's it.
Yes. And continue to focus on what it is that you were put on this planet to do. You know what I'm saying? Continue to focus on you. Continue to focus on your families. Continue to focus on our communities. And that's how you beat it. Because at the end of the day, what you don't give attention to, what you don't give energy to,
it won't grow.
So feed your energy, feed your thoughts and your attention towards what's going to elevate us, what's going to help us to grow and help us to move in a positive direction as the Black community. Point blank, period.
In that order.
In that order. But yes, that's going to wrap up this episode of Woke and Broke. If you guys want to send any input on this topic, definitely shoot us an email at wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com, slide in our DMs, or join our Facebook group, Hey Y'all, on Facebook. We'll put all of those links for that stuff in the show notes. And I hope you guys have a great and amazing week, and we'll talk to y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Woke and Broke. If you like what you've heard so far, do us a favor and share this week's episode with your friends. Then subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and SoundCloud so we know it's real. If you want to learn more about us and the show, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Woke and Broke Podcast and on Twitter at Woke and Broke Pod. Talk to you next week.